Well, good morning. I was kind of a little bit weak there. Good morning. Okay. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, mothers-to-be. We're so thankful. I think we can give them another round of applause. Let's do that. I'm thankful. The pastoral staff, I know, leadership are thankful for the mothers and grandmothers, great grandmothers of our church. I'm very thankful for my own mother. And when I think about her, and my father passed away a number of years ago. And I think about my mom and her role in my life, always having me in church and working all the way through, providing for us. And I remember the summers when I was at least mature enough to think about my mom's sacrifice. She would work in the evening so she could be with us during the day, during the summers, and just so thankful for her. I do realize and would like to pray right up front before we get started that for many and possibly even most here today, that Mother's Day is a bittersweet day. We prayed earlier before the first service this morning before everybody came. The pastors got together and prayed and we discussed what percentage of moms coming today would have a mixed experience, mixed emotions about Mother's Day. And maybe you're one that has a desire, God's put this desire to have children, you haven't been able to have children, or you have wayward children, or you've lost a child, or maybe you had a mother who wasn't everything that you've heard a mother should be. And so I know in our midst, and I heard from the first service, you know, just that this day could be bittersweet. And so we're thankful you're here, and we recognize that the reality of life can often bring a bittersweet experience when everybody's celebrating how difficult it can be for you. So I'm going to have a word of prayer and pray specifically for those moms who come with a bit or a large part of their heart broken here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and thank you. And Lord, you've gathered us. We all have a different story, and there's blessings and there's burdens in that story. But here on Mother's Day, Lord, we're gathered today, and we thank you. I thank you as one of the pastors on staff here for the ladies, for the mothers, the grandmothers, the great grandmothers that you've given us, and the value added to our church by their wisdom and by their perseverance and by their love and their love for you. So we thank you for that. But also, Lord, I know and was reminded again in the first service of how difficult today can be. And so, Lord, no human, certainly not me, is capable of meeting the deepest need of the broken heart. But you are. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do a work today. I pray that you'd do an encouraging, blessing gospel work here today. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's precious name. Amen. Now today, if you would take your Bibles or your devices, we're going to look at one verse. It's Exodus 20 in verse 12. It's the fifth commandment out of the ten commandments. And we're just going to look at the one verse. Now, we live in a culture that doesn't really respect authority. And we live in a culture that doesn't value old age. You might even say that we live in a culture that views older people as expendable. But as followers of Christ, we're called to be different, actually countercultural. We're to value and respect authority in through the different stratum of our life. And we're to, according to the command in Exodus 20, honor our fathers and our mothers. And we're to respect and value those that have gone down the path a little bit ahead of us. And so today's scripture is going to fly in the face of culture. And I want to make sure that Lakeside, the Lakeside church family, if you're visiting with us, that we get God's perspective on parenting, on mothers and fathers, on authority and valuing and respecting those that are down the road ahead of us a little bit farther. So why don't you read Exodus 20 and verse 12 with me this morning? Let's read it together. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I have an outline with three pretty simple applications. If they were followed, obviously, they would be radically countercultural, and they would bring blessing on your lives individually and corporately as a body. But I'd like to make a couple observations about this commandment. It's the fifth commandment of the ten. And I just start off with something very basic about the commandment. God literally wrote this commandment in stone with his finger. So when he thought about saying 10 things that he wanted etched that would cover the broad spectrum of each of our lives, he saw fit with his finger to be so intentional that he wrote, honor your father and your mother. Now it's the fifth commandment out of 10. The first four are towards God. They're about God and how we relate to God. The next six are then how we relate horizontally with people. And so the first four are about God. The next six are about people. And the very first one that's about people are about our relationship with our mother and father. Even the ordering of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, would tell us that if you don't have your relationship with God right, you're going to have a very difficult time having your relationship with people right. So when you come for biblical counseling, as many do, what we often have to do is we have to talk about your relationship with God first so that you can actually have the ability to have your relationship with people be everything that God wanted it to be. Now, having said that, I want you to notice, if you have your Bible open, that there's a phrase that's used in the first five commandments, the first four about God and the first one about honoring our mother and father, and it's the phrase, the Lord your God. Now, if you have your Bible, I'll just point out, it's used five times in the first five commandments. Verse 2, I am the Lord your God. Then he says in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God. And he adds, and am a jealous God. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. And so it's very God-centric. And then only in the fifth commandment do we find the phrase again. This is the one on our vertical relationship found in verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And so I think God is saying with that little adding that phrase, I think what he's saying is to respect me and to honor me, God is saying, it's going to be very important to connect it to honoring your mother and your father. You are not going to honor me, God says, first four commandments, if you don't honor your father and mother. And I want you to connect the two today, that to honor God, it's commanded by God with the writing of God's finger in stone that you honor your father and mother. And so it's a very serious command for all of us here today. It's the first commandment given with a promise. And the promise is that your days may be long in the land. And so that's a Hebrew expression about fullness of joy and fullness of God's blessing. And this is the path to the abundant life. Couple of observations and then practical application. This command is singular, actually all 10. It's not plural, it's singular. And literally it should be read, you, yourself, honor your father and your mother. So this applies to everybody in here. It's not saying as a group do this. He's saying specifically to you, honor your father and mother. But the commandment has a surprise for us today. Because I'm sure there's many parents that are here saying, man, you know, I need to have all my kids here and I hope my kids stay awake and, you know, I hope they're paying attention. This is the message that they need to take notes on. But here's the surprise in the command, and I want you to get this. The command is primarily directed to adults whose parents are still alive. Adults whose parents are still alive. That would be me. That'd be many of you. The command is found 8 times in Scripture. 2 times in the Old Testament, 6 times in the New Testament. Jesus repeated this command a couple of times, and he never gave the command speaking to children. He gave it speaking to adults who had adult parents. And actually, if you wanted to go to the very point of the sharpened pencil, the command is actually given to adult men first and foremost. Now, adults, yes, all of us, yes, but primarily to adult men. He's going to say the last commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. He's not primarily speaking to children there. He's speaking to those of us who are out of the home. Jesus always applied this command to adults. And you can read about it in Matthew 15 and other places. So of the 8 uses of the command, there is one. Paul uses it and applies it to children. And so I have 3 practical applications. My outline was more difficult and more wordy, and so Adrian Rogers helped me clarify and simplify the outline. I hope that you'll appreciate me stealing simpler words from him and me not making it complicated. But let me give you 3 practical applications. Number 1, obey your parents when you are young. That's clearly one of the major applications of the passage. Paul took the command from Exodus 20 and verse 12, and this is how he applied it. He says in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes Exodus 20, verse, honor your father and mother. He even tells us, hey, by the way, you should go back and look at the command. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Kids, you should take note of that and say, well, I would like to live long. I'd like it to go well with me in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we're going to start off with children here this morning. All you parents, you can clap right now and say, glad. I'm glad he's talking about that. The first people that God put into your life are your parents. The first authority figures that you have been given are your parents. One of the signs of being in the last day, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, listen to what he says. This is how you know you're in the last days. Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Doesn't say anything but lovers of God. Proud, arrogant, abusive. Notice what Paul said, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. If you cover all of the biblical material that speaks to children about their parents, you'll find that there's unbelievable blessing by being respectful and obedient, and you'll find that there's extreme consequences to the child that does not obey and respect their parents. If we took what Scripture has to say, if we go back to Ephesians 6, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land, I think parents, here's one thing you can do. You can go home this afternoon, you can make a sign to put on your children's bedroom door, warning, disobedience to your parents may be harmful to your health. Put Ephesians 6 down below there and let them figure that out. Amen. Paths always lead to places. And God says, blessings accrue to obedient children. consequences, extreme consequences, accrue to disobedient children. This is a picture. Pastor Tony always has, for a number of years, and Teresa and the youth leaders, have led a trip to Glacier National Park in Montana. If you haven't been there, for my money, it's the most beautiful place in all the world. They have a road called Going to the Sun Road. It's like an unbelievable experience. But this is a picture, actually, of the Continental Divide that goes from Alaska all the way down to South America. And the reason why I put this picture up here is I'm trying to give you a word picture. Because on the Continental Divide, if a raindrop, a rain cloud comes, and the raindrop falls on the west side of that divide, it goes out into the Pacific Ocean. If a raindrop from the same cloud lands on the east side of that ridge, that water will eventually find itself in the Atlantic Ocean. And so what you see then is that depending on which side it falls on, it ends up being oceans apart, even though it came from the same cloud. And I would just say to children, paths lead to places. Paths lead to places. Obey your parents. I'll give you some very practical words here in just a second, but let me step. If this is speaking from biblical authority right here, I'm going to step aside and give you a personal preference. So this is my personal preference. This is some old codger guy that's talking, looking back. So take this. If it lands, it lands. So in this command to obey your parents, to honor your parents, the command then also assumes that there's an authority structure in the home. And when you study the scriptures, the father is to be the authority, primary authority. He's to be the head of the home, and the mother is to be the heart of the home. And between the two of them, the child is raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so this is nitpicky, but let me just say it anyway, since it was on my mind. I'm concerned that in our society, parents are increasingly relating to their children, young children, as equals, as peers, as buddies, rather than as parents who lovingly assert authority. If your children, and I get to counsel them or counsel you as they get older, if they don't learn to respect authority in the home, you tell me where they're going to learn to respect authority. It's not going to happen. And so you need nurture and you need a respect for authority. And in God's order, that comes from the home. They don't learn it there. They're going to at least face it when they get out into the world, and they're going to have a very difficult time. You can write it down. Parents, there's all kinds of examples in Scripture. I'll give you one. We don't need to turn there. It's in 1 Samuel. But there was a guy who was supposed to be a spiritual leader. His name was Eli. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And while he's serving the Lord, his two sons were disgracing God in a very gross way. And it says in Scripture that Eli, the dad, talked to the boys. You should not do this. They kept doing it. He talked to the boys. You should not do this. He never stopped the boys. So God says to Eli, because you didn't step in and do what a father should have done in my presence, even as you're serving me in disgrace, here's what happened. Hophni and Phinehas die on the very same day, just like God said. And then Eli hears the news and he dies too. They all three died on the same day. And so kids, not trying to scare you, let me help you this morning practice obeying, honoring your parents. So if you're in the home, 18 and under, I want you to stand up. We're going to make sure, parents, get your kids all to stand up. If you're in the home, it's okay. Not going to squirt gun you or anything. Parents, you can thank me for this later. Send me some donuts or something. Okay, I'm going to say a couple of phrases, and with your best, deepest, truest voice, you're going to repeat them back to me, okay? Can you do it? Shake your head if you can do it. Okay. Kids, yes, mom and dad. Say it back. That was weak. Come on. Number two, thank you, mom and dad. Very good. I should have you looking at your parents while you're doing this. And there's only four. Didn't think you could go past four. Let's just work on these four. Number three, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Woo, it's going to be a great Mother's Day. Here's the kicker. Let me take care of that for you. Come on, they're balking on me. Let me take care of that for you. I didn't hear it. Let me take care of that for you. Okay, you can sit down. Let's give them a hand. Number two, so obey your parents when you are young. Number two, care for your parents when they are old. Thank you. I'm more qualified to say that than you are, but the way in which one relates to his or her parents changes when you're married or out of the home, certainly does, but the responsibility to honor your mother and father doesn't change. It is a timeless command. While I've heard and read a great deal about the responsibility of parents to children, I've not seen so much written concerning the responsibility of adults to their parents. Not so in Scripture. This command is given to my age and those that are out of the home that have parents, even if you're married, to honor your mother and father. It's a timeless command. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 5, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household. Now, let me just stop. Normally, that's applied for if parents don't take care of their own children that are in their household. That's not how this was written. This is talking about the generations that have gone before you. This is talking to an adult. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Listen, if you have to bathe them, they bathed you. If you have to feed them, they what? They fed you. If you have to sacrifice for them, guess what? They sacrifice for you. If it costs you financially, it costs them financially. Amen? Honoring your parents will require, if it hasn't already, one day for you to parent your parents. So we're to care for our parents when they're old. Number three. And then the heart of the command is to honor your parents, whatever age you are, at all times. At all times. The word honor is the word that's most often translated glory. And it literally means something that has weight to it, something that has esteem and value to it. And it literally means do not take lightly. So when you're glorifying God, you're not taking God lightly. Like you have this respect for him. So to be a parent is a weighty thing. That's what God is saying. So place value on them because God commands. And so if you're a follower of Christ, your relationship to Christ should elevate your relationship with your parents, no matter what's gone on before. H.B. Charles, a preacher of our generation, and he's just fantastic, and I just appreciate and challenge every time I listen. And here's what he said. It doesn't matter if you're 3 years old, 30 years old, 300 years old, honor your parents. If you live in their home or they live in your home, you honor your parents. If they pay the bills or you pay the bills, you honor your parents. If they tuck you in at night or you tuck them in at night, you honor your parents. If they are caring for you or you are caring for them, honor your parents. Amen? Amen. This is God's way. Now, the fifth command does not say honor your father and mother if they deserve it. So I just want to mention, because there's no doubt some, and I talked to some in the first service, who say, you don't know my parents. I would have to fake it to do that, Dave. What does it mean to honor an ungodly or a distant or not their parent? Well, certainly there are limits to honoring your parents. You would never honor your parents over not honoring God. The first commandment is to honor the Lord your God. No, nobody else takes that place. Certainly authority and many of you could tell a story of your parents' authority being abused, or at the nicest word you would say is misguided. But here's a mindset to help you honor the position, not the personality. Ask God to give you a compassion for that broken relationship that you might have, and that one day there might be repentance and fellowship restored. Thank God when you think about a parent that's difficult to you, that maybe you don't have any. Thank God that he's not that kind of parent in your life, that God isn't. So I just jotted down some ways to honor your parents. Show respect to them, talk to them, and even when you're talking about them, express gratitude, write the letter, make the visit, make the call, be verbal, listen to their counsel. Doesn't mean you have to take their counsel. You're not disrespecting if you're out of the home, but you listen to their counsel. They've been farther down the road. God just might use them in your life. Live a godly life. There's no greater way to honor a mother or father than for you to live a godly life. That's the greatest thing in all of the world to a parent or a grandparent. Express love with acts of love. Do the deed, give the gift, show the affection. You never outgrow God's command to honor your parents. Now, as we might expect and should expect, Jesus fulfilled this command perfectly. Let me just remind you about Jesus, 100% God, 100% man. Luke 2 and verse 51, he had stayed back at the temple. He's just going to be a teenager. And mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, kind of lose him. And could be up to a day and he's been gone. And they go back and you know, Jesus, where have you been? And he does say, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And you could, you know, if you have a sarcastic personality, you could say, well, he's kind of smarting off to his parents. No, he wasn't. Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And I don't want to be disrespectful, but Jesus knew who his daddy was. And yet, here's what it says in Luke 2 and verse 51. And he went down with his parents and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. He honored his physical father and mother. Hebrews 5 and verse 8, though he was son of God, yet he learned obedience. Philippians 2, 8, he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. His life was a life of obedience, costly, sacrificial obedience. And for us, Jesus not only obeyed it perfectly, but because he died on the cross, he has the ability and the power and the desire to forgive us when we fail in all of the roles that we have in life. There isn't a mother out here, as you look at your life, you say, I screwed it up. I can't get it back. It's too late for me. No, not with Christ. He gives you the opportunity. He turns ashes into beauty. Today's a start over day. Amen. It is. He died to pay the price. And so I would say the greatest thing you can do is trust in his finished work on the cross. Say I did sin. I wasn't perfect. I blew it. I wasn't even present. Now, ultimately, and I close with this, the most important family experience will be whether you're part of God's family or not. Jesus came to his own family. And in Jesus' day, that meant concentric rings of family and relation all the way out there. It's like the good old days of having family reunions where you get 200 or 300. Like, he came to his own, John says, but his own didn't receive him. He was, from Scripture, from the Spirit, he was rejected by his own family. And yet, John said, if you will receive Christ, believe in what he did on the cross for your sins, he gives you the right to become children of God. Not by birth, physical birth, not by doing good, but because of what Christ did on the cross. And so you could have the privilege today, if you don't feel like you have it, you could have the privilege of praying and calling him Father only by believing and receiving his Son. Do you know the Son that obeyed the fifth commandment perfectly? You know, on the cross, Jesus took this fifth commandment and he obeyed it perfectly. Because as he was in the throes of coming to the end of his life, a couple hours left in his life, he said to John, the writer of the gospel, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, John took her to his home. He said, "My mother, I turn her into your care." He honored his mother in the very last hour of his life. And so he gives us an example not only to live, but he gives us a life to trust in so we could have our sins forgiven. So I don't know where you're at today in your life. I don't know how you ended up here. Many of you are part of the Lakeside family. This is how we gather on Sunday. Some of you are visiting for the very first time. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your motherly experience has been. I don't know what your family upbringing has been. I don't know what decisions that you've made. All I know is that you can come to the cross and be forgiven. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing. And I just, Lord, as I have the privilege of speaking to you in front of a group of people, I want to thank you again for my own mother. And Lord, I pray that you would bring a gospel blessing to her today, specifically today. She would receive a gospel blessing. Lord, I think of those who are brokenhearted here this morning, and not only is it a mixed bag, but the weight of what's going on in their life is towards a burden. Maybe self-inflicted bad decision. Maybe, Lord, just difficult time that's related to motherhood or just life. I pray that you do a specific work. Lord, you would you call some out to salvation for the very first time on this Mother's Day 2025? Lord, with the hope that you bring and the salvation that you offer, would that win the day here today? Father, again, we thank you for the mothers and the grandmothers and great-grandmothers. We think of the value that's added to Lakeside Fellowship. I think of all the wisdom that come from the women of Lakeside. I think of all of the obedience and all of the love for you and all of the compassion and all of the ministry, Lord, and I pray that you would bless all of the women of Lakeside. And Lord, we thank you for them today. In Christ's precious name, amen.